The reading this morning is taken from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, and that can be found on page 195 of the Church Bibles. Ephesians 6. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as you obey Christ, not only while being watched and in order to please them, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Render service with enthusiasm, as to the Lord and not to men and women, knowing that whatever good we do, we will receive the same again from the Lord, whether we are slaves or free. And masters, do the same to them. Stop threatening them, for you know that both of you have the same master in heaven, and with him there is no partiality.
Thank you, praise team, and thank you, congregation, for worshiping together. We, the redeemed, shall be strong. We want strength. We want power. Now, the power went out at Union today. So I thought I was going to stand up and preach a sermon powerless at Pentecost. But we got the power in the sanctuary, hopefully in the U Cafe as well. But on this Pentecost Sunday, as we go through Ephesians, before we look at the passage at hand, the context is Paul is saying that we are to live a life of love. He says that's possible only if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now remember in John 16, Jesus says, I'm going to go, but a comforter is going to come, and he is going to guide you in my will, and he is going to bring glory to me. And then in Acts chapter 2, on that first Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, the Holy Spirit came and gifted the people present with gifts that they didn't have. So guidance and gifting and glory are what Pentecost is all about when the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And Paul says, be filled with the Spirit and be grateful for everything. And in the context of that, we've talked about what it's like to live a life of love at church, what it's like to live a life of love at home, and today, what it's like to live a life of love at work. Let's pray together. Almighty God, may your written word be our guide, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. How many of you are overworked? Be honest. Raise your hand. How many of you work at least 40 hours a week? Oh. How many of you work 50 hours a week? 60? Do I hear 70? Do I hear 80? Do I hear 90? It was interesting at the first service, by the time I got done, the only people whose hands were raised were CEOs, fund managers, and Filipino domestic helpers. Mothers. Oh, the mothers were too tired to raise their hands. True story, a six-year-old in the United States was at school and they were focusing on careers. And so she went home and asked her dad what he did and mom what she did. And the problem today is many times you can't explain what you do to a six-year-old. But the six-year-old knew that her parents both worked a lot. So when she was asked to report, and then the next follow-up question was, what are you going to be when you grow up? Her response was, tired. We work a lot, and that may be a good thing or a bad thing, but we're at church for most of several hours a week, so it's quite easy to live a life of love at church. At home, we're there a lot, although you're home less than some people. It's a little harder to live a life of love at home, sometimes with those we love, but it's very, very difficult to live a life of love in the workplace. But what a strategic opportunity God has given us. It's good to welcome some people from HDB and the Alpha Conference that was held in China 2 years ago or so. I remember talking to a man, and I lost his business card. I'm fascinated. He said he was a Western businessman in southern China, and he said, "I'm a Christian, but I didn't come to share Jesus. I came to make money." And he said, "I established this factory, but then I said, because I am a Christian, how could I share Jesus Christ in the marketplace?" So he decided that he would start an Alpha course. And he went to the government officials and said, "In order for people to work in my company, I need to have an orientation session, and it's going to be this course called Alpha." And the government said, "Sure, go do whatever you want. Thank you for the jobs." And he told me that most of his workers who went to the Alpha course accepted Jesus. Well, he didn't say amen. He said, then they all wanted to have a Bible study, too. And he said, "So, but what a fantastic strategic place to share Jesus Christ." And friends, each one of you is in a very strategic place. Those of you, whether you're working at home or outside the home, how do we live a life of love in the way we work? Now, Paul is talking about husbands and wives. Wives, obey your husbands. Husbands, love as Christ loved the church. Submit to each other. And then he talks about children, obey your parents. And parents, don't exasperate your child. And then he switches and he says, slaves and masters. Now, what you have to understand is at the time Paul was writing, one-third of the Roman Empire was comprised of slaves. Other than the Jewish people, most other people had plenty of slaves. And the slaves many times sold themselves into slavery. It was, pardon me, not unlike domestic helper situation here. I can work for a few years and then can do something else. And most of the church at Ephesus, most of them were slaves. And most of them were working for non-Christian masters. And Paul is saying, okay, in the workplace, how do you live that life of love? I don't want to offend anybody, but some of you who are working 90, 100 hours, you're kind of a slave too, aren't you? You know, how do we live a life of love in the workplace? And Paul has some very interesting advice. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as you obey Christ. The first thing as employees we are told to do to our bosses is to respect them. Fear and trembling can be translated respect. Now, you may say, well, I don't think my boss is worthy of my respect. He or she may not be. But the slave owners that these Christian slaves were working under weren't exactly worthy of respect either, except Paul says, respect as to the Lord. Obey them, respect them as you respect the Lord. Mark Green was here several weeks ago, and we still have a few copies left on the information table of his book, Thank God It's Monday. And in this book, he says it could be that God has placed the boss that is over you there for a particular reason. That particular person might be able to teach you things that no one else can teach. How many of you have good bosses? How many of you have not so good bosses? No, you don't dare answer that question because your boss might be here. Well, let me tell you what happened to me. A number of years ago, I was doing graduate work while trying to be a full-time minister, and it was very difficult. And to be quite frankly, some of my professors cut me a little slack, but one guy didn't. One of my professors was a major obstacle. He was giving me all sorts of problems. So I went whimpering to my advisor, and he said, "Anderson, how many years of education do you have?" And I said, "Well, I've gone to university, I've gone to seminary, I've got another master's degree." He said, "You have gone this far in your education and you've never run into a jerk? You need to learn to work with jerks. That's part of graduate education." So I muttered and sputtered, and this guy wasn't a Christian, but I said, I prayed, "Lord, you know, I am with this jerk and help me to fast forward. I'm at an airport, and who is on the same plane but the jerk professor? And by that time, I'd had the PhD, so I was afraid. I wasn't afraid of him anymore. And he said, you know, we admit a number of ministers, pastors, clergy into our PhD program, and virtually none of them finish. And I was concerned that you weren't going to finish. And I saw that you were cutting some corners, and I wanted to make sure that you had a rigorous education and that you did things properly. And as I look back, the jerk was not a jerk. God had put him into my life, as painful as it was, for a purpose. And Mark Green in his book says it just could be that God has the boss you work under there for a purpose. Well, at the same time I'm dealing with this jerk, I'm in a church, and one of my associate pastors comes up to me and said, my therapist says I need to talk to you. I said, you're in counseling? And he said, yes. Well, what did the therapist say that you were supposed to say to me? He said, I'm having a bunch of dreams, and you're in them. And there's a theme in these dreams. You're Darth Vader. The reality is my colleague was working for a jerk. And he confronted me, and we had a very difficult time, but I think we worked through it. And years later, he too says, now that I have a church of my own, I kind of understand why you were such a jerk. But we're called to respect those in authority. Not because of who they are, but because in respecting them, we are respecting the Lord. Paul says we are to be respectful of our bosses. Interesting survey they did recently. I'll ask you the same question. How many of you think that Jesus should have been more specific in his commands? Yeah, no, like two or three hands. That's exactly right. Only 2% of the people surveyed. It wasn't the things that he's not clear about. It's the things that he's clear about that kind of give us problems, right? And this obeying our boss is one of them. But then he goes on. Not only are we to be respectful in singleness of heart as you obey Christ, not only while being watched in order to please them, but as slaves of Christ. Not only when we're being watched, not only to please. I had a very traumatic experience Wednesday. The deacons of the church, your leaders, I am proud to tell you, meet Wednesday morning at 7:15 a.m. for prayer right here. And how exciting that the leadership of the church is committed to praying for us. They come, some of them, up to an hour to get here at 7:15. I live up in the manse. But I'm going, oh Lord, this is such a sacrifice to have to come downstairs at 7:15 to pray. And so I prayed with the deacons from 7:15 to 8:15, but I was really tired. I've been up the night before. So I decided that I was going to go up to the manse and read my Bible. So I sat down in a chair, and an hour and 15 minutes later, the phone rang. I wake up. Now, do you have the same problem I have when you answer the phone when you just wake up? The problem was, there's somebody I really respect, one of my top five heroes in the world. I've been trying to get a hold of this guy for a long time. He calls me at 9:30 on Wednesday morning, and I was asleep. So he thinks either A, I was sleeping at 9:30, which I was, or B, that I was drunk. And I go, oh, I wanted to make such a good impression, and I made it. Terrible impression. We want to look good. And we want to work really hard when we're being watched. We want to really work hard so our boss says, oh, he's a good person. But Paul says that's not what should be motivating us. In fact, Paul invents a Greek word. It's the only time this word is used. And it's ophthalmodulia, and it means eye service. And he says, don't just do eye service. What he means is don't just work when someone's watching. I talked to somebody, I said, when do you go to work? And he said, before the boss comes in. When do you leave work? After the boss leaves. Why? It looks good. We are so intent on looking good. But Paul says that's not really what we should be. We should be sincere. We should be conscientious whether the light is shining on us or not. Be respectful. Be sincere. And then Paul says, render service with enthusiasm as to the Lord. We should be wholehearted. I love that. Render with enthusiasm. How many of you jump up on a Monday morning, thank you, Lord, I get to go serve people and serve you in the workplace? I was talking with someone who says, my daughter is doing a terrible job, but she just loves it. She's so enthusiastic. And I remember my first job out of university during the summer, I was working in a warehouse in Minneapolis. And there were three of us eager beaver, you know, college graduates, and we were working really hard. And at the second day, the union guys pulled us over and said, you don't work that hard except for yourself. Well, Paul says you work that hard for the Lord. And what an opportunity we have. I mean, we want to share Jesus, right? But when we show respect, when we are sincere, even when the boss isn't watching, and when we are enthusiastic and wholehearted, some absolutely amazing things can happen. Obey your boss. But then Paul has words for bosses, and we have some bosses here today. And masters, do the same to them. In other words, the golden rule. If you want your employees to be respectful, insincere, and wholehearted, you better be too. For you know that both of you have the same master in heaven, and with him there is no partiality. Aristotle said that ethos, the respect we have for each other, is based on three things. It's based on competence, and employees would like to have competent bosses. That helps. It's based on character. Those of you who are in authority over other people are watching your lives very carefully. But Aristotle says it's also built on goodwill. Does this person actually have my interests at heart? It was interesting. I talked to someone who said, my firm has no loyalty to me, and I have no loyalty to my firm. And unfortunately, that's the way it is in a lot of business. But what happens when a person in authority says, I really do care about you. I want to create a work environment where you can flourish. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm not trying to ram that down your throat. I just want to create a work environment where you can do your best and become a better person. I talked to a couple who started coming to church, and they said, we have come to church because we have a Christian helper. And this Christian helper has been absolutely wonderful, and our Christian helper asked if she could bring our child to church on Easter. And our child really liked it. It wasn't this church, but it was a really good experience. So the kid came home and said, Mom and Dad, why don't we go to church? And so they wanted to find a safe church, and they chose us. But isn't it interesting that it was a helper? So whether you're a fund manager, a CEO, or a helper, God has placed you right where you are for a very special reason. And through the power of His Holy Spirit, He can embolden and empower you not only to enjoy your work, but to use your work as a chance to reach others for Jesus Christ. What a privilege. But the last thing again, it is Pentecost Sunday. And Paul tells the employers, do not threaten your workers. And sometimes I think Paul has to tell pastors and preachers, do not threaten your people. So I'm not telling you, go out there and work harder. No, you can't do it by yourself. That's the joy of Pentecost. It's not guilt and threats that make us change. It's realizing that Jesus Christ died for us. We are of infinite worth in His eyes. And He has sent His Holy Spirit to guide us on the path that He has prepared for us. He has equipped us with the energy to do that task. And He has gifted us in a very special way. So we live a life of love in gratitude and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us in Christ. It's not guilt, it's grace that motivates us to live a life of love at church, at home, and at work. Let's stand for a closing song.